الحمد لله الذي هدى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اجتبى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم، ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر، يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر، ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب، أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني، فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم.
In part of this series that we were talking about, which is the series of our ancestors, and we were talking about Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, and how during his time they had to face the challenges, and finally when they took over one of the big challenges, which was fighting Musaylamah al-Kadhdhab, the person who claimed the prophethood, and the person with the largest army against Islam, other than the two superpowers, the Roman and the Persian Empire. I mentioned last week that when Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'een turned around from this battle, they realized that they have lost about 700 of those who were Huffaz al-Qur'an, who had memorized the Qur'an. Losing 700 people at the same time of the Huffaz, out of 1200 people that were murdered in that battle of Yamama, 700 were those who were considered the scholars among Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, and Huffaz among the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, who have memorized the Quran and learned the meanings of Quran. They used to call them, they have a word for them, they used to call them Al Qurra. Umar radiallahu anhu went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and said, Abu Bakr, we have to compile the Quran, because if we keep on losing people in this way, God forbid, a time might come that people won't have anyone who knows the Qur'an by heart. So we have to prepare people to memorize Qur'an. Here we have to remember another point. It wasn't that there were only 700 people, or there were about only 1,000 people who knew the Qur'an by heart. There were thousands of them. But the fear of Umar radiallahu anhu was, we are conquering many lands now. We are getting into many other towns now. In each and every town that we take over, we need one scholar and one hafiz, so that that person can teach the rest of the people Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we don't have enough people for each and every town in every country that we conquer. Just to get an idea, of how Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa jama'in were into memorizing Quran during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You go and open up any book of hadith, well-known books of hadith, six authentic books of hadith, each of them has some of these hadith that says that a Sahabiya was offered to be married. And she put a condition that I will marry the person under a condition that this person would teach me some Quran. The condition from the Muslim woman at that time was that I need the person who knows some Quran by heart and he can make me memorize the Quran. That's the condition for getting married to the person. Look how well youth change. Nowadays, this question never even comes in mind that does this person even know how to read Quran or not. Is not a question to be asked or to be considered nowadays. What are the degrees? How much he earns? What type of job he has? What are the future plans? Simply means, what type of bread is he going to feed the girl? And how much is she going to eat? Two pizzas or three pizzas? If he's going to feed her three pizzas, then we'll go for that one. He has more pizzas. If he's going to feed her in an expensive restaurant, then this is the person we are looking for. And we never even ask if he even knows how to recite the kalima. And in many of these situations, we all know that good Muslim girls are married to those who don't even know how to recite Al-Fatiha. And now the problem comes is, she says, I know more than you, and he says, I don't want to learn from my wife. Sahabiyat were putting this condition. The Muslim girls at that time were putting the condition. I'll marry the person under the condition. He has to know the Quran by heart and he teaches me the Quran after marriage. This is the condition of getting married to the person. I don't want to change the subject, but one more thing that I remembered from the hadith at this point. Something very amazing, and we can never even think that this thing, something of this kind can exist in the history. It says that when a Sahabi used to leave home in the morning, the wife would tell him that please keep in mind that don't bring a single penny of haram into this home. Go and look for a work. Try to earn. If you don't find any halal mean of earning, don't bring nothing. We'll starve to death, but we will not eat anything that is haram. Number two, make sure after work, before coming back home, go to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Learn all the new revelations that were revealed today. And come and teach us, and after you teach us, then we'll have the dinner together. An advice from a wife to the husband. Every morning, a reminder. Just like an alarm clock beats in our homes, they used to beep with these words into the mind of their husbands so the husband will realize, I don't want to get out there in the haram. I don't want to bring a penny of haram. I don't want to feed my children the flames of fire of the hellfire. I'd rather bring something halal or we will starve. It won't matter. And at the end of the day, no matter how tired that person is, has to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learn all the new verses of Quran that were revealed on that day, all the new orders of Islam that was given that day, will come back home, teach his family, and then they will have the dinner together. So I was mentioning, this is how important memorization of Quran was in those days, that Sahabiyat were putting these conditions for getting married. Also at the same time, if we look into the history. And not history really. We look into the hadith. We find out that there was a Sahabi, a young person, Amr bin Salama. The hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. He says that we used to live by one of the wells close to our town. And we children used to play around that well. That well was on the main road where more normally the people who are traveling would stop there for getting their water. He said at that time I wasn't a Muslim, but many Muslim groups were just passing by that would stop by that well. And they would spend about some time there, you know, when a traveler stays there for half an hour. After some time, he said, my clan decided to become Muslim. So I was also with them and we went all together to become Muslim. I was with my father. Once we became Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I'm going to assign one of you people to lead the salah. And I would assign the person who have memorized the most of the Holy Quran. So who is that person? So every person started saying, Ya Rasulullah, within these 2-3 days that we spend with you, I memorized this much. The other person will say, I memorized this much. I said, Ya Rasulullah, I know almost the whole of it. So he asked me, how did you learn it? And when did you memorize it? I said, Ya Rasulullah, these different clans that are traveling, and they stop by the well by our town, they keep on reciting the Quran all the time by hearing it all the time from those people. I memorize it. This tells us how much they used to recite the Quran. That these groups are staying over there. They are in the present. They are on their way. Just staying over there for half an hour, for an hour. And they are reciting so much of Quran that children playing around them, they memorize the Quran just by listening to these people reciting it all the times. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu says, during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara, whenever a new person would come to Medina, we would assign one of the Sahaba to teach him Quran. He said, after some time, the masjid was crowded with those people who are learning and teaching Quran, so much so that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to tell us that please keep your voice low because there are so many groups, you don't want one group started hearing the voices of another group and learning it from there and mix up the ayahs, therefore keep your voice low as you can. Of course, within the group they have to raise the voice, but as low as you can. The masjid was crowded by those who are learning and teaching Quran. And here is a child who's memorizing Quran by hearing it from others, and he's not even a Muslim at that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran says about Quran that the main way of preserving Quran, of course, he tells us, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. We are the one who revealed it. And we are the protectors of it. Very amazing fact. There are some copies of the Quran that were written during the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and they still exist up to this day. Take a person from America, another person from England, another person from India and Pakistan, another person from Africa, another person from one of the Arab countries. Bring all of these people together, make them recite Quran, they will be reciting the same thing word by word without making any changes. If one person will correct the others, he will know that, okay, one of us is right, both of us cannot be right. We have the same copy of the Quran throughout the world. And compare all of these people's recitation with that book of Uthman radiallahu anhu that exists up to this day. You will find out that it's the same Quran. We don't have different editions of it. We don't have different versions of it. we are not making changes into it. And no one can even do it. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. You go and talk to some of the Christian priests. And you tell them that this thing is in your Bible. And he brings his Bible and tells us, it's not in my version. What can you do now? I follow only this version and it's not in my version. You're out. There was a time about 15 years back, I decided, let me go and learn something more about the Bible. I started picking up books from the libraries that are the explanation of the Bible. You open that book, written about 50 years back, 60 years back, and try to find that verse into this Bible, it's not there. It doesn't exist anymore. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved this book. Within 600 years from the time of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, within 600 years, the deen was changed, the Bible was changed. And alhamdulillah, it's been 1400 years and more than 1400 years, we have the same deen and same Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the fact about Quran, that the way He preserved Quran wasn't in books. بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. This is a miracle of Quran. بَلْ هُوَ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ. These are clear ayahs. Where? فِي صُدُورِ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. In the hearts of those who have given the knowledge of deen. In the hearts of those people. Preserved it in the hearts. It says in the history, when the Britishers were ruling India, and they tried to take away the knowledge of deen from Muslims because they realized that these are the only nation, this is the only nation that will confront us. So the way to have to make these people go back to sleep and make them just like any other nation, just go to your mosque, worship, don't worry about anything else that happens in the world. And to take the jihad specifically, get the jihad's concept away from these people, they thought the best way is change the teachings of their deen. And in order to do that, the first step they took was, let's try to take the copies of Quran from them. And they started pulling all the copies of Quran away from the masajids, from homes, and burning it down. Finally, they went to one of the masajids where there were a lot of children sitting and memorizing Quran, the teachers teaching them Quran. And by the way, this is the way that was during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Throughout the history, it continued the same way. The imam is sitting in the masjid. There are a lot of students memorizing the Quran. And this is how children used to memorize Quran in early ages. Unfortunately, our masajid are out of this activity nowadays. The activity that was always there in the history. Something that we must do it and bring it back into our masajid in order for us to have our children memorize Quran. So as he was going and pulling all the Qurans away and those children are sitting and memorizing, they went and they pulled all the Qurans away from those children. So the teacher got upset and he said to them, what do you think you people can achieve by doing this? They said, we'll take all the books away from you so you people won't be able to memorize it anymore. He called one of the young students and he asked him to memorize, to recite the Quran. And that boy started reciting the Quran from his memory. So the teacher said to that person, the police officer, he said, if you take these books and the text, you won't be able to pull it out of our hearts. We still can continue teaching it from our hearts, and these young children will continue teaching it throughout their lives. There is no way you people can take the copies of Quran away from us. At that time they realized that this won't be a successful way taking the deen away from these people. And then finally, after trying some more things, their final decision was something that they really thought about it, made good planning of it, and they got a great success in that way. And you know what that was? It's that our own educational system, where we give high degrees to those people who will learn in our schools, our universities, our colleges, they will get in Islamic and non-Islamic studies. and they will get high paid jobs, and this way we will be able to take these children away from the masajid and put them in our schools. And they succeeded in this. And today our masajid are empty. Where are the children? In the school. Where are the children? In the college. On the day of Eid, we have to run big holes. There is no space in the masjid. Where all of these people are coming from, they were in the university. The rest of the year, they didn't have time to come even for Salatul Jum'ah. That was the plan. And one of them said it. He said, we are going to, through our educational system, we are going to create people and bring up people who from the outlook will be Muslims and their hearts will be Britishers. This was the main theme of it. I don't want to change the subject and go too far in the other subject. It's a sad subject and something that we really have to talk in details about. And think about it, of what we are doing to our souls. But going back to this memorization of Quran al-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's something that's fi suduril ladina utul ilm. He has preserved it in the hearts of those who have given the knowledge of him. During the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, these Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in were getting murdered into the battlefield, and there was a lot of need of having a lot of more huffaz, because they are conquering different countries, different towns, in each and every town, in each and every village. They want to keep one Hafiz al-Qur'an who can teach people the Qur'an al-Kareem and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, this is something that the Ummah agrees upon, that every town must have one Hafiz and one Alim scholar who can teach the people the Deen and teach people Qur'an. If there is a town who does not have any person who knows the Qur'an and who knows the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every person in that town is getting the sin if they are not trying their best to get one person for their town. This is the rule of our Deen. So Umar radiallahu anhu went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and said, Abu Bakr, we must compile the Quran. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, how can I do something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never did? I cannot compile it in the form of a book because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never did it. During the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to write Quran on different pieces of a stone. They would write it on leaves of the trees. They would write it on the skin of animals. They didn't have papers. So it was all different ayahs are written on small pieces, and different Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam are carrying those different ayahs. So not even one complete surah is compiled in the form of one book. Not even one surah. Different ayahs are written in different pieces, and all the Sahaba have some of these in different pieces. And of course, as they used to memorize it, they would write it for themselves. And even when they would write it for themselves, because they did not have any organized way of writing it, so they would pick up any piece of paper or any leaf or anything and would write a couple of ayahs, and then they would keep it in one of the boxes. Umar radiallahu anhu insisted that Abu Bakr, we must compile it, because all of those people, most of those people who have memorized the Quran, they are getting murdered. And we have to preserve this book of Allah. Allah says, I'm going to preserve it, but how? By using us. So finally, after a long debate, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, I was convinced that what Umar radiallahu anhu is saying is true. There's nothing wrong to compile the Quran. And he called Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu says in the hadith, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu called me and he said, he narrated the whole incident to me, that this is how Umar came to me and he insisted, and in the beginning I was opposing, and then finally I got convinced. So Zayd, now I want you to do this work. Zayd radiallahu anhu says, I argued the same way. I said, كيف تفعل شيئا لم يفعله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. How can you do something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never did it in his life? That said, there's nothing wrong, it's not a bid'ah, it's not haram, so what's wrong in doing it? And they insisted, and finally, after long debate, I was also convinced that yeah, we must do it. And he says, if they would have asked me to pick up, to break a mountain into pieces, and then transfer those pieces to other place and reassemble the mountain somewhere else, that was easier than compiling the Quran, because it was a great responsibility. And I was given a responsibility that the Ummah will follow till the Day of Judgment. This book, the Ummah will be following it till the Day of Judgment. So I was afraid to make any mistake. Great responsibility. So Zayd radiallahu anhu says, I organized a committee with me who would do this work, and asked Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that since the beginning idea was of Umar radiallahu anhu, so therefore I want Umar radiallahu anhu to help me in doing it. And they made an announcement in Medina that whoever has any piece of Quran written must bring it to Umar radiallahu anhu and to Zayd radiallahu anhu. Here we must remember a point. Zayd radiallahu anhu was Hafiz al-Quran. He knew the whole Quran by heart. If he wanted, he could have written the whole Quran just by from his memory. Umar radiallahu anhu was Hafiz, so he could have written the whole Quran from his memory. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was also Hafiz. All of these people were part of it, they are all Hafiz. But they are not writing it from their memory. Being very careful, extremely careful, they put four conditions for accepting any ayah to be written in its proper place before they would write it in that book. Four conditions. Number one, Zayd radiallahu anhu will compare. Of course, they would never write any book, any ayah in Quran, until there someone will bring that ayah in a writing form. Now, as someone will bring it, they will require that person to bring two witnesses that you wrote this in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then you read it back from this text, you read it back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and confirmed it, that this is how it should be recited. So a person bringing it in writing, and bringing two witnesses with him. This was the first condition. Number two, as he will bring those witnesses, now they will confirm it, Zayd radiallahu anhu will confirm it from his memory. Third condition, then that will go to Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu will confirm it from his memory. Fourth condition, as all of these things are done now these people will ask another Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in if they have any of these ayah, the same ayah, if they have it in writing without witnesses. At least they have these ayahs written, they will compare it with all the other writings that Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in have to make sure that this is exactly how it was written and how it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how they started collecting the ayahs. Zayd radiallahu anhu says, finally we got stuck with one of the ayahs. The last ayah of Surah Al-Baraah. Since our time has run out, inshallah, in our next session we will talk about what was the problem they were having with the ayahs, and how the problem was solved, and how then the whole Quran was put together in the final form and the final order. Inshallah, we'll talk about it in our next session.